We've got a crop update coming up on the news today, and we're keeping an eye out for tar spots in West Central Indiana. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for the 11th day of July. Good Thursday morning. I've got the latest Indiana farm news, weather, and markets on the way, all brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Be sure to stop by your local branch today to talk about your ag operation, or find them online, ffbt.com. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is on the way as well. Some rain across the state today, but not nearly as much as we've been seeing. And we have markets. It was another bad day for soybean futures. Tom Fritz is here with EFG Group in Chicago. The news is next here on HAT.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
An update on corn and soybean crops across Indiana, and discussions over a new labor bill on Capitol Hill. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Some Indiana corn and soybean fields are progressing very well. Andy Eubank joins us now with an update.
The Indiana corn crop is now 67% good to excellent, and soybean ratings are at 66%. Those ratings appear to track pretty well with the crops in West Central Indiana, according to Levi Riggs of Riggs Ag Solutions.
That's probably right. I think in my geographical area here in West Central Indiana, Hendricks County, Boone, Putnam, you know, our crops look really pretty good. We got planted early and on time with not a lot of replant. So I feel like maybe we're a little bit better than most. But I'd say that that's probably accurate.
Riggs is a Channel Seed Pro, and he told HAT in the new Channel Seeds growing season update that a lot of corn is shorter this year with the early heat, but also tar spot has come about 2 weeks early.
Yeah, with tar spot, you know, this humid, wet conditions that we may find ourselves in, it could proliferate into something bigger. So definitely be looking at that. Consider a shot of Dallaro Complete on that to deal with tar spot and northern corn leaf blight and gray leaf spot. It's also great on frog eye. But I think that's the big thing right now is, you know, tar spot can be nothing. And we've been fortunate for it to come in late after a lot of grain fill late in the season in previous years. But just the fact that it's here so much earlier is a little bit more worrisome.
He says the ideal application timing is
right at full tassel is the best time to hit it. If you use a little bit higher rate, you can buy yourself about another week to 10 days of efficacy, which, you know, timing with tar spot is the tricky part.
Riggs is optimistic that yield results come harvest can be very good in a year that has benefited from good planting conditions and rainfall. More in the full interview at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. I'm Andy Eubank.
Well, your lawmakers in the U.S. House are reviewing a labor bill that could have a major impact on Indiana's farmers and ag companies. Sabrina Halverson has more.
Strong debate at the House Appropriations Committee Wednesday as the full committee marked up the bill for fiscal year 2025 funding for the Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, and Education.
We protect farmers from a labor department determined to close small, family-owned farms across the nation with regulation after regulation.
Subcommittee Chairman Robert Adeholt, a Republican from Alabama, as he introduced the bill.
We protect workers from a rule that would eliminate freelance opportunities for 64 million American men, women, seniors, and others balancing work with family responsibilities. We protect frontline workers from dangerous National Labor Relations Board regulations that would cost more than 375,000 jobs.
Some agriculture groups that are watching the process closely say the bill could have benefits for farmers and ranchers. Director of Government Affairs at the American Farm Bureau Federation, John Walt Boatwright, says it includes a freeze on the adverse effect wage rate and fixes for recently announced Department of Labor cuts.
The provisions in this bill really seek to provide some stability in an area that we haven't really had a lot of stability over the past couple of decades as it relates to our labor shortages and our labor costs in farm country.
Boatwright says, in addition to freezing the adverse effect wage rate,
this bill also addresses some of the flurry of rulemaking that has taken place just in the past couple of years.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eile steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
If you would like to begin or expand a conservation practice on your farm operation and earn some revenue as well, then you might want to enroll in the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. Tyler Rausch is Indiana's field program representative for the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund, and he says it improves the long-term resiliency of your farm operation.
We're working with growers to implement new conservation practices such as tillage reduction, cover crop implementation, or extended crop rotation. We're not only looking at the soil health benefits, but the farm benefits from reducing fertilizer rates and then the carbon sequestration process that we are implementing there from reducing the tillage, which is reducing the amount of diesel fuel that is burnt and then the carbon that is being sequestered in the soil.
Hear more about the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund in our next podcast. Check out their website, TheOutcomesFund.com.
Unsettled is the key buzzword of our forecast this morning. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Today, seeing nearly as much precipitation as what we just got through over the past day and a half to 2 days. The remains of Beryl are long gone, but we have a minor disturbance that originated in Iowa yesterday. It's tracking across Illinois today and will likely throw a few hit-and-miss scattered showers into western and west-central parts of Indiana as we move through sunset tonight. Then that system can trigger some thunderstorms tomorrow morning in northeastern Indiana before we turn out partly sunny again. Today and tomorrow, both very, very humid. It's easy to see how pop-up instability can happen with the conditions we're expecting the next couple of days. Over the weekend, we don't really get much better. Partly to mostly sunny skies for the most part, but we won't rule out some heat-based instability and convection, some thunderstorms late afternoon, evening for Saturday night into Sunday, and once again, Sunday night into Monday. I think we have to deal with on-again, off-again thunderstorms with about 80% coverage over the weekend. Then next week, Monday, Tuesday, we see showers and storms here, leading to a frontal boundary slowly sagging through Tuesday night into Wednesday. That frontal boundary will give us good precipitation, so I think Monday through Wednesday midday, we have to pencil in anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches combined, 90% coverage across the Hoosier State. But from Wednesday afternoon forward, we are looking at cooler, drier, and significantly less humid air. So it's going to be quite the switch at midweek next week as we move into a different pattern. Do not look for that pattern to hold long term. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to see warm air work back up from the southwest toward the end of next week and weekend. And I do believe the following week will be quite warm, quite muggy once again, with plenty of pop-up thunderstorm activity. Overall, this means that we continue to see significant moisture, good moisture through the soil profile, and no blatantly horrible heat right away. But I think the heat is still coming. Right now, crop growth and development, corn pollination, should not be threatened too much. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Farmers need flexibility, which is why Farm Credit Mid-America offers farm real estate loans with flexible options built for farmers. With a wide range of loan products and competitive interest rates, we are able to tailor a farm real estate loan to meet your needs. If you're thinking about expanding your farm, Visit us at fcma.com/real estate to learn more. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Soybeans fall hard again. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. Final numbers from Wednesday trade coming in just moments. First, market analysis coming to us from the Windy City, Tom Fritz, EFG Group. And Tom, the story has to be the soybean market right now. Three straight days now of double-digit losses. The losses weren't as heavy at midday. Thought we might get a bit of a reprieve, but nope, here we are at the end of the trading day on Wednesday. Here we are again.
Well, I'll ask the question. Why do you think we need to have a reprieve? I think we're seeing a lot of technical selling. I think we're seeing a lot of weather-related selling, even though I think it's a little early for weather-related selling in the soybean market, because we all know soybeans are made in August. But, right now the attitude is that, the crop is going to get plenty of moisture to withstand any curveballs Mother Nature may throw at us in August. So also our demand is very good. Now, granted, this morning, USDA announced 132,000 tons of new crop soybeans sold to China. First announced Chinese sale for new crop beans. And, it's kind of like, oh, you want to get excited about that? No, we're so far behind last year's export sales pace that, it would take a hell of a lot. And I think all China did was throw us a bone with the collapse in prices here that we're seeing. We're seeing the product markets. What was it prior to this week? The soybean oil market had been a high flyer. Now it's not. It's settling back down to earth. The soybean meal market, new crop meal, looks just like a new crop soybean chart, making new lows, new contract lows, new contract low closes. So the bottom line is, I think we may be getting ahead of ourselves, but, who's to argue when you've got the fund stampede coming at you that it's a little premature to say that the soybean crop is made, but right now, we don't have any major weather threats out there. We're going to look at, a projected crop size from the USDA on Friday, even though this is not a production report. But they will factor in the acres that we received late last month. And with that said, I don't see the USDA changing the yield at all, not given crop conditions. So, you've got a 4.424 trade guesstimate on the crop size for soybeans. You've got a carryout projection on soybeans for new crop at, 447 million bushels. Where are you going to go with that? So, old crop beans projected carryout there is 357 million beans. So it's kind of like, where are we going? We're trying to digest all this, and the charts are ugly. The technical trade is ugly. Sure, we're going to start flirting with oversold, and that's going to give you some bouncing. But if you look at what transpired in the corn market last week, we got oversold, we bounced a little bit, and then corn just pumped out new lows today. Now, granted, it's trying to show a little bit of support, but the bottom line is, right now, at this date, July 10th, we're looking at a really good crop potential, and our demand is absolutely nothing to write home about. So, the path of least resistance is lower prices. And what do lower prices try to do? Well, normally they try to stimulate demand. Well, so far we are really not finding it. China just bought its first two loads of new crop soybeans. Corn, export sales on corn, they've been absolutely nothing to write home about. Old crop corn sales are coming down. The Brazilian second season corn crop, they're probably 65% harvested. And given the strength of our dollar, we're not competitive against Brazil. So it's where can we go? Sure, we're going to flirt with oversold again, and that will lead us to some attempts at consolidation. But right now, you know, just trying to look ahead, what's on the horizon to challenge the, you know, the crop, and I'm just not finding anything. So you look at the wheat market. Wheat market's reeling lower after, you know, it tried to consolidate after that big break. And problem is, U.S. wheat, we tend to follow what's happening with the European wheat prices, with the Black Sea wheat prices. And right now, nobody can compete with the Black Sea wheat prices. They've been ratcheting lower. A month ago, everybody was scared about the Russian crop size. We started to see numbers starting to come down in their crop size. Well, now in the last week or so, we're starting to see those numbers come back up a little bit. And but the bottom line is Russian wheat prices are leading the way lower. And, you know, we can't compete. So we've got to follow prices lower as well. We've got a good hard red winter wheat crop out there. We've got a good soft red winter wheat crop out there. Right now, everything looks like we're going to have a good spring wheat crop. So, you know, once again, the supply is far outweighing the demand. And unfortunately, I just don't see that changing anytime soon.
Again, that's my buddy Tom Fritz, CFG Group in Chicago. Before we started the recording, I told him the soybean market performing just about as well as our major league worst Chicago White Sox. But that's another story for another day. Wednesday numbers now. September corn up a penny and three quarters, 395 and three quarters, the only green mark on the board Wednesday. December corn down a penny and a quarter, 407 and a quarter. August beans lost 18, 1113 and a quarter. Down 13 and three quarters on September beans, 1063 and three quarters. Down 13 on Novi beans, 1067. September wheat lost over a dime, 561 and a half. In livestock, August live cattle down a dime, 182.25. And August lean hogs down 372.84.67. That does it for the Wednesday Farm Market Review and the Thursday Morning Hat Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again tomorrow, bright and early. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.